when I was an attorney, the ability to go into a courtroom and field questions competently, extemporaneously, and articulately was very limited. I would have the worst tunnel vision. My nerves would get the better of me almost every time. It just wasn't my forte. Walking into a courtroom and being able to do that and to anticipate the questions that I would get was not easy. It didn't come easy for me. That wasn't my shtick. And so given that, I've been really surprised at the quality of the lawyers that come before us. With just a handful of exceptions, every lawyer that appears in our court is so prepared and so together, and they know their cases so well. I'm floored by it. And I'm sure that in this room we've got some of the best of the best. So I would just commend you guys for being so well prepared and being so good at thinking on your feet. As coming from somebody that didn't come easily for, I'm very impressed by that.
Excellent. Surprised at the level of performance. Mm-hmm. Justice Hightower, what do you think? Biggest surprise?
For me, you know, in Houston, we had 5 out of 9 new judges that came in. None of the 5 had been judges before. And I don't know if surprised is the right word, but I underestimated the stability and institutional knowledge that our staff attorneys and chambers attorneys were going to provide to us. I mean, I'm so fortunate that in my chambers, between my 2 chambers lawyers, I've got 26 years of experience, and my central staff attorney has 24. So I immediately had 50 years of experience in my chambers to ask questions and get a whole lot of guidance. So I was surprised at how much help I would have in providing me the institutional information I needed to bounce questions around with my own staff. So I don't know if it was surprising, but it was sure reassuring starting day one.
Justice Triana?
Well, I would have to say, I know you said the most, but there's a couple of things. First of all, I would say I was surprised at how opinions are written. I had this, being a trial lawyer for most of my life, and having to be on the bench and immediately having to rule on objections without having the benefit of briefs, I thought that, you know, appellate judges sat around and drank coffee and read briefs and read the law and had all this time to really think and write wonderful opinions. I think, pretty much the first week dissuaded of that when, you know, our Chief Justice Rose is like, and by the way, not only are we a working court, but we've got certain expectations of how many opinions you need to get out the door. And these are what the legislature is looking at. So they're looking at us with wanting 100% clearance rate. And I just never thought that that was even in the equation of what we were trying to do. So the idea that not only do we have to be deliberate, and it's extremely important that we get it right, but that we have to, you know, constantly be managing several opinions at a time. The other thing, and I'll just briefly say, is that
I'll never cut you off.
Thank you. Is that I was surprised, and y'all might be surprised, at the randomness of how the cases are assigned. Being that it is a political animal that we are elected from, you know, I thought for sure whether it was Chief Justice or that there'd be some way to assign cases, you know, so if it's to a more senior judge, and it is purely random.
I'll ask a follow-up question based on that I really haven't prepared you for, but I know that courts of appeals justices do, they struggle with striking that balance between quality and quantity, as you're talking about. I certainly never had heard the term clearance rate before I joined the court. So I'd love for each of you, if you can, you know, kind of on the fly, to tell me how difficult it has been for you to try to find that balance between the quality of your opinions and knowing that the appellate practitioners are saying, what is taking you so long? Get it done. Can we come the other direction?
Sure.
Since it's a follow-up there?
It is a balance, and, you know, some cases are a lot easier. I mean, I think the majority of the case, well, I don't know if majority, but a lot of the cases, you know, if you have a habeas by a litigant that's in, you know, prison who was convicted 20 years ago, those are fairly easy. You know, those get out pretty quickly. But if you have a pretty complex with 10 issues kind of opinion, that's not going to take you a week. And so the legislature has a couple of things that they look at when they're looking at us to see if we're, and we have our own performance measures. One of them, like I said, is 100% clearance. What that means is that you have to clear the same number of cases that you get in that year that you have to clear them. Not those cases, but you have to, if you get 100 cases in, you have to clear 100. And if you don't have 100% clearance, then they're wondering if you're doing a good job. The other performance rate that we have that we always are very careful about is the time. A case has to be decided within 2 years of the time that it gets filed, and it has to be decided within a year of when it's submitted. And so you're constantly looking at your older cases, and that kind of is what, at least in, I think, my sense, I'm looking at older cases. So it's a balance. There's a justice on our court that says, you know, a grade B paper is not a bad paper. But I think we all struggle because all of us, every single one on our court, wants to get it right in the end.